Now, with Mary, when you open, when I opened to her, what happened was I've learned something about love, which is nice to learn about. And it's important to understand that in this dealing. First of all, most of our images of love in our society have to do with romantic love. They are poetic love. They are interpersonal love. I love you, you love me, we love each other. We all give lip service to, but hardly ever really acknowledge that there is another kind of love that is not interpersonal. We call it conscious love, or Christ's love, or God's love. And the image I have is that when you grow up in a society of conditional love, which most of us have grown up in because of the way in which we are socialized, we end up very needful for love. And that's why a lot of the literature is about love and affection. It's as if there's something in us that's very hungry. We're on a deprivation diet. And so when we meet somebody who has the key to unlock something in us, we experience that we are in love, and we say, I am in love with you. What we're really saying, another way of saying it in a kind of an instinct literature is, you are the key stimulus that is releasing the mechanism in me that allows me to be in love. Okay. You're my connection. And as my connection, I want to possess you because I'm hungry to be in this state in my being. I have come into the place of love in my being. And everything is beautiful suddenly. But it only happens when you're around. So where will you be Thursday? And where will you be Friday? And where will you be for the rest of my life? See? And the tendency is to want to possess the beloved, which, as you and I both know, is one of the quickest ways to destroy the experience. And that love has in it fear because somebody's going to die or go away or find another lover or something. Now, that's interpersonal romantic love. And that's why there's so much poetry about it, because it has the fear and the joy and all of the stuff in it. But now take that image that the key stimulus is something that opens you to the place in yourself where you are love. And through the spiritual practices and through understanding the metaphysics and through opening yourself, you find yourself starting, whether you call it awareness, where you draw your awareness back from thought, or however you get in there through meditation, through devotion, through study, whatever your practices are, you find yourself starting to rest in the place of presence in your being, which has the quality of that openness, that boundarylessness, that heart, intuitive heart space where you experience that you are in love. But now you are no longer dependent on an external thing to awaken you to it. You're beginning to rest in it. So you are beginning to be love. Now, the social problems that raises are very interesting, because what happens is now everyone you look at, you are in love with. And you don't quite know what to do, because if you've been working on an old deprivation model, you want to collect them all. So you get one and you say, let's nest. And you go back and you get twigs and drapes and, you know, make a nest. And then after some time you say, I'm going to the supermarket to get some tofu and beer. And at the checkout counter, you look at the person at the checkout counter and it happens again. I mean, because now when the eyes, you see, are the windows to the soul, and the soul rests in love. The soul is a being within the place of love. So you look and there's your beloved. Now what are you going to do? You got one at home. So you say, have you considered a menage a trois? But what are you going to do then? Are you going to not walk down the street and look at anybody? Because it's going to keep happening. And you realize that you're going to have to give up your deprivation model because there's an abundance of love. You're going to have to stop collecting it. And you're just going to start to go so that you pass your beloved on the street and you don't even wink. So you go through stages of, at first you can't believe it, see. So you go down the street and you meet one and you say, let's have coffee together, or give me your telephone number, you know, in case I run out of the others later. I want to know that this one is, because it's so beautiful. And then after a while, you just keep letting go and letting go and letting go until you realize that isn't the way. You're just living in this presence of love. In which you, because the thing that has closed you down is the fear of the other person's pain and suffering. And once you have that spiritual perspective that allows you to keep your heart open in the hell and the pain and the grief and the stuff, then you can start to be in love with another human being without feeling the possessive quality about it. And so with Mary, I'm sitting with Mary and I am falling into love with her. And that is both levels. The personal level, I'm attached to her, I don't want her to die. I've gotten to love her so much, I don't want her to die. And the other part, she and I are just floating in the ocean of love. And I realize, and what she is experiencing is such an intimate human contact as I am. We are both dying together. And we go right up to the moment of death. And at that point, what happened to me in that case was I then found myself separating myself from her because I wasn't yet capable of staying in love through death. And that's my work on myself. I could stay in love through dying, but not through death yet. And yet, love transcends death. But to be that wisdom is different than knowing that wisdom. And I am dying into that wisdom. Is this too weird for you, or are you still here with me? And because I work a lot with people that are grieving for the loss of a loved one. And my way of supporting grieving is to say, grieve, my God, grieve. Don't try to stop grieving. Don't be strong, grieve some more, go grieve some more. Just allow the human pain, don't hide it, just keep going through it. And then at some point, you will quiet down naturally. It might take a couple of years, who knows. At some point you will quiet down and you will be quiet enough to realize that the love, when you and another person enter into the space of love together for even a moment, that relationship has transcended relationship. You have entered into a unitive moment together, and that transcends death. And at that moment, when you quiet down enough and you're sitting with your beloved, you suddenly realize that where did they go? As Ramana Maharshi said, where could I go? I'm still here. It's just the form that left. You were busy missing the form. You weren't missing the essence because the essence is here. And when you recognize that, you feel as a human being enriched by everybody you have loved instead of deprived by the loss of their form. You realize that they're living through you. And that everybody you've ever loved is part of the fabric of your being now in the way in which you go forward. And that's where grief gets transformed into a living love space of a spiritual transcendence of the pain. There was a nurse in a seminar that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and I were doing together. And the nurse said, She was about in her, I think, late 20s, and she had three children, and she had advanced cancer. And she had been through many, many operations. And it was a very poignant story with three young children. And she said to the audience, what would you feel if you came to visit me in the hospital? And different people raised their hands, and Elizabeth wrote on the board, and some of them said anger, and some of them said anger at God, some of them said pain, some of them said sadness at your plight, some of them said confusion, a whole list of things. And she then said, you see the predicament? She said, all of you were so busy being with 28-year-old nurse with three children with cancer, nobody was with me.